Can learning transform your life? This is Impact Learning with Maria Zinedou, a podcast where you will hear personal stories about how we learn, work, and live in the connection economy. Together with her guests, she will teach you to design your learning journey and create the life you want. On today's episode,
I've learned a lot. I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that you have to, and I've known this, but I've relearned it, I think, through this experience, is that you have to throw yourself into action and try different things and stay generous and just keep experimenting.
Hey, it's Maria, and you are listening to Impact Learning. Hey, Tamara, welcome to Impact Learning.
Thank you so much, Maria, for having me.
So, Tamara, when I reflect upon the wonderful things that happened since the Alt MBA in January of 2018, crossing paths with you continues to be a highlight for me. So thank you.
Oh, I feel the same way. I am just so glad that we've gotten to be friends. You were one of those people in Alt MBA who is kind of in the peripheral of my experience. I always saw your name. I always heard wonderful things about you, but I didn't really get to spend time with you a ton during the actual session. And then we've just fixed all that.
Yep. And we'll talk about it. But you know, Tamara, I don't know, where did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up originally in Minnesota, in suburb of Minneapolis. I only lived there during my very young years. I lived most of my life in Phoenix, Arizona, and have loved it and don't think I could survive a single Minnesota winter at this point.
So what is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, well, so in Minnesota, the thing that you do is you go to the lake, and everybody has a lake that is their the lake, and because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And so my family would go in the summer, we would go every weekend to our lake, which was called Lake Osakis, and we did eventually get a trailer that we parked there that we stayed in. But for a long time, we stayed in these cabins that were right on the lake. And it was just, there were the kids that came every weekend. And so those were my weekend friends. And we would run around and they had a giant inner tube and you would jump on it. And I mean, I think about my kids doing that now. I'm like, oh my God, that's so dangerous. But we had a blast. Yeah. And we were in the lake and we went fishing and we'd go walking through the trees, and it was just so much just nature and outdoors and fun, and I just loved it.
Ah, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. You studied elementary education in college.
I did. Actually, technically I started as a theater major in college, but yes, I got an elementary degree.
Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about that then?
Well, so I was a big, big, big theater nerd, which I say lovingly. I embrace that as part of my positive identity. I loved theater. I loved acting. I loved everything about it. And so I went into college thinking I was going to get a theater degree with emphasis in acting and go to Broadway and be a star. And I got about a year and a half into that program and decided that it was a little bit more, there was so much that was out of my control and so much that felt political or, I don't know. I got freaked out. I got freaked out. Like, oh my gosh, my whole life is just going to be auditioning and just making and just putting my life in the hands of other people deciding to pick me. And that made me really uncomfortable. And so I changed my major halfway through my sophomore year to elementary education, which was the thing that I always wanted to be when I was little. So it didn't really feel like making, you know, taking a lesser route, but it definitely was a shift.
What was it about elementary education that you were particularly interested in?
Well, I love kids, and I'd always, I'd been an avid babysitter and nanny pretty much my entire teen years. And so I felt comfortable in that space.
And is there anything you learned for yourself during this time that you were a teacher?
Oh, yeah. I would be a different person today if I hadn't done that. My teaching experience started at a pretty affluent school, getting my student teaching in my very first year of teaching. And I was really fortunate to be paired with a very experienced, very talented teacher as my mentor. And she taught me a lot of foundational skills for the education side of things, for sure. But in that school, classroom management was pretty easy. There was a lot of parental involvement. The students generally, they knew how to follow the rules. They, you know, were expected to follow the rules by their parents in most cases. And so, you know, new teachers always have a challenge with classroom management, but you figure it out and you get through it. But then after that, I ended up switching to a different school that was a Title I school, which is basically high rates of poverty. And that was a very different experience in terms of particularly the classroom management side of things, because it is a lot more chaotic. It is a lot more, especially for a new teacher, like you are just kind of, it's sink or swim. And so it is an environment where someone like myself, who likes to have things under control and likes to control things in some cases and have order and have process and have structure. These are children who, in many cases, this is the only structure that they have in their life. And so it was really hard for me. And I took that very emotionally, because I was trying so hard to teach and to reach the kids and to, you know, make sure that they were having this experience that in my head was what it should be. And they kind of needed me to meet them someplace else and work with them and kind of create something with them that wasn't going to be my plan. It was going to be our plan. And so that was definitely that whole journey, like patience. Oh my gosh. So much learning and patience. For sure, this idea of like, nothing works forever. You can try something and it might work for a little while, and then you need to change your strategies. This idea of like, you can't give up when things are bad, because you can't. You have to show up tomorrow, whether it was the worst day ever yesterday or not. Like, you just have to keep going. You just have to keep persevering and trying, because these kids need you. They need you to be their teacher and to guide them through the school year. And so it was quite the thing. So one of the great things about working in a Title I school is you actually get a lot more professional development than you would if you were in a more affluent school. And so I got great teacher training for how to teach in the real world. And so like, when the thing no one tells you is when you're in college and you're learning how to teach, it's like you can't even apply it, because it's all theoretical. It's all just like, okay, this sounds cool. I'll try to remember it when I'm in the middle of chaos in 3 years from now. But when you get that teacher training, if it's really quality while you are a teacher, it's amazing, because you can learn something and then the next day just go back and apply it and see what happens. And so I got some really great strategies of how to work with my kids. Like, and so one of the things that we did was we did flexible grouping. And so what that meant is that all of my kids could be working on different things, and I could be, like I said, meeting them where they're at. So if they're reading as a sixth grader at a first grade level, I can work with that, because I'm going to have a group of kids who need a different set of supports. But you don't know how to do that when you're a new teacher. You haven't been taught that strategy of, A, how do you organize a classroom to even make that a thing? And B, like once you're in that environment, then like, how do you teach that? How do you teach in that way? And how do you keep things moving? And how do you prepare? So that was just, I mean, it took time. I was a teacher for 7 years and it just took time to learn those skills. But if I hadn't had that instruction and I hadn't had that professional development, there's no way. There's no way that I would have really been able to understand that. And it's just another example of like, you don't know until you hopefully stumble upon or enter into, you know, having these learning experiences. You don't know it's possible sometimes.
And you learned by doing, which I guess is the only way.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially with kids, because they will throw a wrench into it at any given chance.
I like that. I think that's the only truth. Yes.
It is true.
And what prompted you to change to ed tech after 7 years of being a teacher?
I am somebody who really loves learning and loves to grow. And I was not seeing a career path for myself where I could grow in the way that I wanted to in sort of my own way. You know, it was really, you just keep being a teacher and keep hopefully moving up the salary level by taking more higher education classes or become an administrator, which was not what I wanted to do. And so I just kind of felt like I was stuck. And so I decided to take a leave of absence for a year, that my district allowed you to take a leave of absence for a year. So I was like, well, I'll just take a leave of absence and I'll see what happens. And if I can find something I love, then I'll do that. And if I don't, then I can always come back and I won't have lost any seniority in my district. Because that's like seniority in your district when you're a teacher is a really big deal, because that's kind of how you move up the pay scale. So it was kind of like I leaped with a very secure little net under me.
And what did you do during this leave of absence year?
I traveled to Mexico for a travel abroad program. That was the first thing I did. I lived with a Mexican family and did an immersion program for about a month and a half, which I wish I would have done when I first started teaching at this school, because it really would have served me well with working with my parents and my students. But can't go back and do that now. And then as soon as I came home from that, I just started to apply for jobs and found a really unique opportunity with a nearby online school.
Okay. And why did you choose that? It's related to education and technology. How did these things come into place?
Well, so it was actually, I was applying for curriculum related jobs because I had just recently gotten my master's degree as I was a teacher, because as I said, that's how you kind of moved up in the district. I had just gotten my master's degree and I was like, well, my master's is in curriculum and instruction technically. So let me see what kind of curriculum positions that I can get, because I had heard that there were opportunities in the Valley for curriculum writers, curriculum developers, for publishers and online schools. And here in Arizona, in Phoenix in particular, is kind of a hotbed for online learning. We've got University of Phoenix here and a number of different online charter schools. And so it was actually like the perfect time. It just, timing worked out really well.
So if you compare the work you did at the school and then the ed tech, what were the big differences and what did you learn?
The most striking difference was the balance of my day and my control over my day. That is what I did not have as a teacher. You basically, as a teacher in my school district or in my school, we had about 20 to 25 minutes to have lunch. You had, you know, prep period, which is so luxurious. Most teachers do not have like a paid prep period to just do what they need to do, but we did have that. And then you're just go, 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 go from the moment you start in the morning until when things are done, or, you know, usually well after that, like you're just constantly going. And now I was in this job where, oh my gosh, I could go to a restaurant and have lunch. And that was the most amazing thing to me, like that I could just be in control of my day and the order that I do things and the way that I structure my schedule. And for somebody, as I said, who really likes to have structure and organization and flow, that was life-changing to be able to do that. Now, it was also challenging because, oh my gosh, like, where do you start? Because there's so many options. And so that took some time too. But yeah, as a teacher, sometimes I think you feel like you're in school too. Like you're stuck in school and you can't get out until the bell rings. Like, it's just, it's a different mentality.
That's amazing. And thank you for sharing this. I was in different discussions recently about, you know, what we want to do when we grow up, you know, the standard question we ask kids. And of course, it's not about what we want to be. It's a lot about what we want to do. But a very important aspect of that is the environment where it makes the way you talked about it. It's exactly how we talk about the kind of work I do now. My days are full. I have a lot of work that I do, but I drive. Like, I can make my choices. I can drive the day as I want. I can be in places that I want, which is before it was not possible.
Right.
You know, most of the time, you still have flexibility, but there is no way I can compare these two things. And I think the lifestyle and the environment we are and how we feel about it guides us, you know, with everything else we do.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's just for some roles, like, it's just the nature of the job. Like, I don't think there's anything you could do to change that about teaching, but I really prefer the way that I have things today.
No, I understand. Exactly, because it's a system. It's a system, and many different things, including teachers and students, need to be in place and need to do different things at certain times. So I think it's a big system that all of us are pieces of that, right? And we need to do the best to fit in there so the whole thing works. So now you have your own business. It's called The Process Mentors.
Correct.
On your website, which is theprocessmentors.com, you write, after 16 years of leadership and classroom experience in both public education and edtech companies, Tamara Kemper had accidentally become an expert in getting things done. Now, as the founder of Process Mentors, she quickly learns how your business works, helps you get organized using simple online tools, and teaches you how to keep it that way. Did things fall into place, or did they happen by accident?
Oh, accidentally is a little tongue-in-cheek. But things fell into place. I look back at all of it. And even like in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed things that are really compelling to me right now, and things that are showing up in my business as ways that I can add value to my clients that I was fully invested in, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And I forgot about it. I forgot that I was doing those things, and it's kind of paved the way for the things I'm doing now. So no, it has unfolded. Perhaps I need to go back and edit.
Okay. So tell us, I'm very intrigued now by what you said, that you were doing things, you know, many years ago, and now they're coming together. So what type of things, what were you doing, you know, many years ago?
So that same charter school that I talked about brought in a business consultant, a strategic consultant that was implementing a methodology called the Rockefeller Habits. And so are you familiar with that book, Maria?
No, I am not.
Okay. So it's basically a step-by-step approach for defining the most important things that you want to accomplish in your business, and then organizing your business to actually achieve those results. And that's a very, very abbreviated way to describe it, but it's a playbook for how to get things done in your business. And so they brought this person in, and she was great. And again, like, I got this amazing professional development in how to be a leader. And I got to, because I was a leader of a team on this really small and scrappy school, and because our business's leader really wanted to invest in kind of having a more strategic approach to how we were doing things, I got to have this incredible professional development in how to grow a business and in how to align your team, how to have a scorecard and make sure you're measuring your most important things and getting the right people doing the right things and how to, you know, address problems in a strategic and logical way. So I have, like, I literally found maybe last week an entire book of templates for like problem solving and logical thinking and all these different things. And it's all related to scaling your business and getting things done. And so that's a lot of what I'm doing right now. And I'm finding that although my original business was really a very narrow focus to be about systematizing processes, what I'm finding is that it's really more like I'm zooming out more. It's actually more about the people and making sure that the people on your team understand. So I'm talking to the business owner. Do the people on your team understand your vision? Do they understand what your company's core values are, what you care about? And if they do, then do you have the right people? Are the right people working in the roles they should be? And how do you know when all of it is working? Because you can't make a process work better and you can't, you know, optimize a, you know, some kind of software automation until you know what it is your destination is and have the right people who also are going in the same direction in a concerted effort. And so it's just been a very interesting organic discovery that, like, okay, yeah, that's part of it, that kind of process optimization and documenting things and writing it all down. But it's actually something much bigger than that, that I was obsessed with in that role. I loved it. I loved every minute of learning those strategies and implementing them with my team. And we did amazing with them. And now I'm getting to apply that and share that with my clients. And it's just been wonderful.
Tamara, I find that fascinating because what you talked about, you forgot about, but you've done it and it's in your head. And when it makes sense to me, so you started, you know, your business last year in January of 2018, and it is evolving. So you started with something specific, which I think makes sense. And now it is evolving. As you said, you are like looking at it now much more broadly. You can help, you know, the business owners from a different perspective, not only based on the process and the tools, but also based on the people. So yes. To me, it's what I call like natural evolution. There is no way we can get everything, you know, from the start. We start from one specific thing and then we continue to build it. That's how it sounds to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A slightly different question. So what have you learned about yourself by, I guess, starting your own business and keep evolving it?
I've learned a lot. I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that you have to, and I've known this, but I've relearned it, I think, through this experience, is that you have to throw yourself into action and try different things and stay generous and just keep experimenting to move forward. So kind of similar to what you said, like you can't, like I could have never gotten to this realization about people and the importance of having everyone on your team aligned and informed and in the right role if I hadn't just started with, you know, helping people make their process work better or helping people write down their processes. And actually through those conversations and through the relationships that were made in doing those, that's like those trust was gained with my clients. And so we would have discussions about things that were completely outside of the scope of what I was working on, but that would take me to the next idea or the next evolution or the next place I needed to push. So that was for sure one thing. But then the other thing I think is the importance of just investing in learning and investing in experts helping you where you don't know what you're doing. So it has been, it has really accelerated my learning. The more that I have invested in educational programs and one-on-one coaching, I've also done some mastermind groups. It has been probably the most valuable investments that I've made has been in my own education and coaching.
Was that learning, I guess, journey intentional, or did you reach out, whether it was coaching or mastermind groups, when you felt that you needed help?
Oh, yeah, I reached out when I felt like I needed help. I tried to do it by myself for about 6 months. The very first half of the year, as you said, I started in January 2018. I just tried to do it all by myself and just kind of muscle through it. I did do some self-learning things, some self-paced things, but then I finally kind of got desperate. That's really the best word I can describe it. And I'm like, I need somebody to like actually walk me through this and help me figure it out. And so I did. I invested in a coach at that time, and that was a really big catalyst for changing everything. And then I've since invested in other coaches, and it's been great.
And based on what you know now, do you think that's like an ongoing thing that you, let's say, as a business owner yourself as well, that you will need? Or is it something that you can occasionally acquire as you need it?
No, I think that this is something that I've identified about my personality, that this is something that I need. So maybe someday down the line, I may find a business partner or somebody who is on my team who kind of fulfills the need that I have in some cases for coaching. But until then, I need somebody to think out loud with, to plan with, to push me, to help me see the vision that I already have, but sometimes gets covered amongst my intense need to continue structuring and organizing things. I don't know if you've ever heard of the book Rocket Fuel. It talks about the two roles of the visionary and the integrator. And the integrator is somebody who kind of takes all the pieces and gets them put in place and makes sure everything's working, actually implements and executes. Whereas the visionary is often somebody who is much more open-minded. They're kind of thinking the big ideas and setting the direction and the path. And I tend to stay more on the integrating side of things. So if you give me a vision, I will get that thing done. But I sometimes don't take the time to sit with the vision side and really develop that. And so when I can have a coach or somebody to partner with, it helps me because I can just get clear on what it is I'm building and where I'm headed and the possibilities and the potential that maybe I don't even see myself.
So you and I met in January of 2018 at the Alt MBA. I've never asked you, why did you decide to enroll in the Alt MBA workshop?
Oh, I had been lurking on the Alt MBA or wanting to do the Alt MBA for as long as there was an Alt MBA, and it was just never the right time. And then I had been doing some freelancing with curriculum design prior to January of 2018 and just doing odd jobs. I was just kind of making things up and not sure where I was going. And then the Alt MBA ad came across and I was like, all right, this is it. I'm going to actually make a real business instead of this dabbling stuff. And I'm going to use the Alt MBA to sort of be my catalyst to get things right. And I had done another Seth Godin program, gosh, maybe like 6 years ago, called the Ruckus Makers, which was just a long weekend in New York City. I actually got to be there in person with Seth. And it was this amazing experience, only I didn't have a project. And so the whole time I kind of felt like I didn't belong, or, you know, which is all just stories in my head, but I didn't have like a thing that I was trying to do. I didn't have a focused project that I was trying to move forward, and everyone else in the room, or I felt like everyone else in the room did. And I think they got a lot more out of it because they were able to really tangibly apply the lessons that they were learning to their project. So very similar to what I was talking about with teacher education. Like, when you're not working on a thing, it's really hard to take the learning and make it useful and really keep that learning and keep that as part of who you are and how you do things. And so I vowed that I was not going to do that again with Alt MBA. So I actually launched my website and my business name and everything just in the few weeks before the Alt MBA started so that I could hit the ground running with Alt MBA and get all the juicy, amazing feedback and learning and apply it and then see where it took me.
That's music to Seth's ears, probably.
I'm sure.
And because you were, I mean, again, another great lesson here, very intentional, because many people take different workshops and we do different things, like probably your previous experience. You know, it's a different stage of the journey. There is nothing wrong or right. It's just what it is. But you were very intentional. You did certain things to prepare so you can do all the work and get the, as you said, the ground running.
The really cool thing that happened, though, was in that Ruckus Makers thing, that was where I met who would be my first coach. So it all kind of works out in a funny little way.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is nothing happens accidentally. I think all things happen for a reason. We'll just figure it out later on.
Yep.
Okay. So, and since the old MBA, I guess, and which is very the same time that you also started your business, you started writing. And
did.
This is where you and I crossed paths more, I guess, more collaboratively when we both joined the writing accountability group that you've been leading and creating with another alumni, with another fellow student. So tell us a little bit about writing and how has it changed the way you do your work and also the way you run your business.
Oh gosh, writing. So I had a very lovely junior high school teacher, or excuse me, high school teacher my junior year, who taught me the formula for writing a 5-paragraph essay. And I mastered that thing because I am the master of process. And I cranked those babies out. I could write a topic sentence and a summary paragraph like nobody's business. And so that was how I wrote. That was how I wrote from age 16 until about a year ago. I felt that everything needed to be formal and organized and very well, like I needed to have this really clear structure and plan before I started. And I had these ideas about writing and all of them were painful, but I could do it and I did it well according to the formula. Now I did stray from the formula a little bit, but I just to give you a sense of like how I thought about writing, that is how I thought about writing, that it was this painful process that you had to have this whole big plan first and then you did it and then it was a thing and you just moved on and I hated it. In the Alt MBA, for those who are listening, who've not experienced it, you do not have time for that. You have to write. You need to publish every day and you're writing a lot. And it's on big stuff and deep stuff and things that maybe you've never thought about before. And if you don't get it done by 11 p.m., then you're behind. And so I had to stray from my junior year formula and just write. And when I started just writing, the funniest thing happened. Apparently, I have a pretty strong writing voice. And it sounds a lot like how I talk because that's how I was writing. I was just writing like I was thinking. And not only was I getting feedback on my ideas, but some people were actually saying like, wow, you're a really strong writer. This is really good. I really enjoy reading your writing. And that was so bizarre to me because that was nothing that I'd ever heard before. And I started really enjoying it. I started really enjoying playing with being informal and playing with, you know, I can put whatever words I want in here and I can start with a sentence with the word and or but. Oh my gosh. I can put a sentence in the middle of nowhere and then leave it there without it being part of a paragraph. I can end with like something that doesn't sum up the whole thing. So breaking all those rules was like, you know, learning a musical instrument or something. It changed the entire experience for me and I wanted more of it. And so, yeah, that was when we started the writing group and you and I, Maria, we cranked away and I love it more every week.
Yes. And since the old MBA, as you said, we did not, I guess, exchange so much during the workshop. We were in mm-hmm. different learning groups, and that was how it worked. But to me, when I first started reading some of your pieces, I remember I was thinking to myself, where did this come from? It was like there was a volcano. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what just happened? Where was that? What you said, you have a writing voice, which is extremely strong and engaging and sometimes funny and real. And I love it. You know how much mm-hmm. I love your writing.
Thank you.
But it's like, you know, like, the most impressive thing is where was that hidden? And now it's out.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a rule, I guess, in my head of how it should be. And that's real. I mean, I think part of that's just growing up too, maturing. You just realize that it's like the unlearning of all the rules. And you realize that you get to live and be in whatever way you choose. So writing is no exception.
So is this what you talked about, the unlearning and learning and probably getting rid of things that they don't serve us anymore? Mm-hmm. Is this part of, our learning journey?
Yes, and definitely still a work in progress.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I had to, 2018 for me was, more of a sabbatical year that I had to mm-hmm. unlearn everything that did not serve me well. I mean, there were great things I learned during my corporate, mm-hmm. 20 years career, but there were certain things, whether it was marketing or business writing, business writing and storytelling, a little bit different things, and free writing and freestyle writing, certain things that the way you describe it, the way you learn, how to write at the beginning, well, business writing and, scientific publications, and it's a very different world than just telling a story to create change, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to unlearn, but you cannot just learn new things. You have to get rid of the things that, they are like layers. It's almost like, everything else is covered. So you have to remove these things. So then you can plant the seeds and start cultivating different ways. That was the same for me, different type of writing, but I had to do the same exact thing.
Absolutely. And to your point earlier, like I've seen the same thing in you, in your writing, because of course I've had the pleasure of following along with your writing journey as well. And I've seen you really, change in your style and in your voice. You've gotten more comfortable, it seems, in letting your voice out as well. So it's been cool. And that's part of the thing I love too about being in a writing group is that you learn from reading other people's work. You start going, oh, that worked, or oh, okay, I see what they did here and I want to try that. And it's just great. It's great. And of course the connections we make and everything.
Yes, and the community and the support, because mm-hmm. after, again, we've been building on that now for more than a year, and it's so, one day, one week at a time, and as you remind us, one month at a time.
One month at a time.
Well, yes, I love that. I learned that from you, that every month, and now I apply it on, more things, also personal things, like affirming the commitment and renew the promise.
Yeah.
I love that. It's such
because it's so easy, like, to make one big promise, and then when you fall off the wagon, you just feel like it's all problems. Whereas I think when you make those more incremental promises or commitments, like, you can just focus a little bit more on that small piece, and then do the next step and the next step and the next step.
Yep, very nicely said. Thank you for that. Again, it's helping me in so many different ways now. So what is, I guess, one thing that you would like to leave your mark on within your lifetime?
Well, related to my business and kind of the ventures of that, I really want to create learning tools and services to help people get to their goals. People who maybe have really, so people who are maybe on the other side of the spectrum for me, they're more the visionary types to my integrator. Really helping people like that who would really maybe struggle with putting the pieces in place to execute and to get things done, helping them put the pieces in place to get to see their vision through.
Okay, so before I ask my last question, I want to offer you the opportunity to share any thought that you did not have the chance to talk about.
I think the mess is the part, is another learning that I've really had in this last year and a half of running my business. And that speaks to the writing, that speaks to, you know, the unfolding of my business, as you so cleverly put it. I'm going to use that. But it's this idea that like, it doesn't have to all be figured out for you to actually make an impact and move forward and learn and provide value. You need to know what you're doing next, and you need to know what it's for, like what the thing is that you're doing, what is it for, and who is it for, and who are you trying to change? Those things are important, but you don't have to have the whole thing figured out, and you don't have to know all the things to start. Like, you can jump into the messiness of it and figure it out. And I think some people are really good at that, and they maybe learned how to do that as children and just have always been good at that. But I think some of us who maybe were better at playing the game of school and were sort of praised and appreciated for our more rule-following behavior as children, that has also taken some unlearning to say, like, okay, what happens if I don't know, you know, how to be a business owner or how to create a blog or do a podcast? Well, guess what? All the information you need to get started is out there, and figure out like the next two steps and just create a general plan and then just start and see what happens. And then the thing that whatever results will take you to what you should do next. And for most things, like, I wouldn't want my brain surgeon to follow that advice, but for most things, I feel like that's a pretty good way to go about it. And it's so exciting. It's so much more fun than having a whole big plan for it. So if you're like me and you were a little bit maybe risk averse or good at following the rules, I think just jumping into it, it's awesome.
I love all that. Thank you for sharing. That was wonderful. So where can our listeners learn from you?
So my website for my business, as you said, is theprocessmentors.com. And you can find my blog there. You can find links to my podcast, the Hot Mess Business Podcast, on there as well. And that's probably the most frequent place. I also frequent LinkedIn from time to time, so you can find me there as well.
Thank you, Tamara. It was wonderful discussing with you today, as always, but I learned more things from you today. So thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, Maria. I'm just so honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I hope you found this episode useful. If you enjoy listening to Impact Learning, I would appreciate if you would share it with your friends who are interested in the future of learning and work. You could also leave us a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform. A new episode of Impact Learning will be published every Thursday. Thanks for listening. And remember, we can talk about learning, we can design it, or we can do both. This is Impact Learning. I'm your host, Maria Zenidou. Till next time.